Well, it's good to be back. I was here. When was I here? Oh, November. That's right. Who was here when I was here last? Yeah, that was, I remember there was a real anointing that hit, that invaded the place that day. And I believe it's going to happen again this weekend. And we say this because this is true. And we have people write to us all over the world. But after these conferences, people's lives are never the same again. All right? And it's nothing about Adam and Adrian. It's to do with God invading the place and bringing impartation and bringing, equipping the saints to move the way Jesus walked in 1 John 2:6. If we claim to know him, we must walk the way he walked. And it's not about works, but it's about being equipped and being empowered. Amen? So I'm excited. Are you excited, Adrian?
I'm really excited. You know, we haven't worked together for probably 3 months now. So Adam's been doing some stuff in the States, and I did some stuff on the east coast of Australia, and I've been writing for the last 2 months, head down, writing. I've just finished another book, absolutely fantastic book called Hidden in Plain Sight, but you won't see it until end of next year. But that is really, really exciting stuff. Now, when we will impart, and you'll get impartation, and your faith level will rise to receive from God, particularly in dreams and visions, and you'll see how we operate and so on like that. But very often, you know, it's like a wheel in a wheel. Sounds like Ezekiel chapter 1. But when God speaks, it may not be what we say literally, but it's what God says to you in what we say. It's the wheel within the wheel of the Spirit. Do you know that a wheel has no beginning, no end, right? So it's not like a square has a point of, you know, like a corner, and you can start from a corner, but a wheel can start anywhere. And so circle is a depiction of the Spirit, because it's eternal. There's no beginning and end. Yeah. And so that's why I'm saying it's a wheel within a wheel. It's the Spirit of God speaking through our spirit that you need to hear. Are you good?
Yeah.
So Adrian's been writing. We both have been writing together, but also what's actually happened is we do four conferences, I should say, four tours a year.
Yes.
And but God has put us together for a reason. There's something about Jesus sending out ministers in twos. And there's something about ministering together, Adrian and I, and everything's established between two or three witnesses. And in fact, the Divinity Code, the book, came together through us working together and having a witness in the Holy Spirit together. And you'll see it demonstrate. Who has never sat under our ministry ever? Anyone? Oh, that's refreshing, Adrian. Have a look at that.
That's good.
Who's never heard of us before? Oh, that's really refreshing. We've got a group over here. Fantastic.
But you came anyway.
You came anyway.
Well, I should have said the ones that have heard us before have came anyway, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. But we need to qualify a few things, because this weekend we'll be kind of out of the box, but we do qualify everything with scriptures. And also, before we move in the prophetic, we're going to do a lot of demonstrations of the prophetic, and we're going to do dream interpretations, and there's going to be some encounters that some of you are going to have. But we do need to qualify a lot of things before we actually start to demonstrate. It saves us from getting hate mail, and it saves us from people thinking that our cheese has slipped off our cracker. But we do qualify it, because we do move in a realm the way Jesus walked, but it's very prophetic, and there's angelic activity that happens, and you need to be open to it. And some of you are very open to it, but some of you, it might be new to you. So just want you to have an open mind, but we are going to qualify everything so you don't freak out. All right, is that okay? And we do, when we say qualify it, we're going to qualify it with the scriptures. I thought you were my friend. You look exactly like somebody we know, Marion from. Yeah, you do have a very popular face. Yeah. She's your friend.
The lady that he's referring to, when she was 76. No, 60.
65. This is a friend of ours who looks like you, by the way.
When she was 65 years of age. No, but listen to this, though. There's hope for all of us. When she was 65 years of age, she went to Cambodia as a missionary. And she works with landmine victims. And she started a dried fruit factory, and now she is 76, 77, or something like that, or maybe 78.
Yeah, amazing woman of God.
And so she has all these employees, and they were Buddhists. And as Buddhists, they were shunned because they've lost a leg and an arm or whatever because of a landmine. And that the Buddhist belief was that they had done something wrong in a previous life, and so therefore they had, that's why they deserved that. They come to her, and she takes them in, and they say things like, you know, this was my fault. And she says, it was never your fault. And they're like, their whole family casts them off. The Buddhist monks walk on the other side of the road to avoid them and so on. It's like, it's disgusting. She welcomes them in. They come to find that the father loves them. And their whole face and radiance, their whole being, they get prosthetic limbs, and they start to get their self-worth. They have the little moped things, whatever they call them over there. And, you know, and they, you know, they provide for their families, and suddenly they're a human being again. Incredible what God can do.
Yeah, yeah.
At 65 years of age, she just started at 65 years of age.
Wow.
Who's over, who's under 65 years of age here?
Justin.
Under 65 years of age. Hey, there's no excuse for any of us. Amen?
There's no excuse. Yeah, we all got to start somewhere, don't we? Anyway, we're going to get straight into it. But now, just for the record, dreams and visions is a means to an end. And the end in itself is actually having an intimate relationship with God. Okay, now, many people have criticized us in the past, many leaders, about dreams and visions. And there is, the enemy can have its twist when it comes to the interpretations of dreams and visions. However, dreams and visions is all throughout the Bible. It's all throughout the Word of God. And let me say this, in the book of Matthew, there was the three wise men. Layman terminology is really the three wise men, but it's actually the Magi, the three wise men, went to visit Jesus as he was born as a baby. When he was born as a baby, he went to visit Jesus, and they went to visit Jesus with gifts. And Herod summons these men, and Herod, he had a... These guys are legends. You know, we left the USB back in the hotel room, and we thought we'd never get it mantled up onto the soundboard, but I think they deserve a bit of a round of applause. And so I want to honour these guys behind the camera and also the soundboard. So anyway, Herod summoned these men, and Herod actually had a principality. He was demonised because he was insecure, and he believed he was the only... there was only enough room for one king in Israel. And he wanted to kill the baby, but he said to the three wise men, he said, bring the child to me so I can worship him. But what happened was when they saw Jesus, and you can imagine this little baby in a manger, and there was this glory realm that would have broken out, and the three wise men bear these gifts. And on the way home, they had a dream of a warning not to go back to Herod and to go home in another route home. And they had this warning in a dream in the night. All three of them must have had the similar type of dream. And people criticize us about dreams and visions, but this dream, or the dreams that were released to the Magi, saved the redemption plan of God. You know what I mean? So it's very powerful to operate in the realm of having warnings, getting revelation in dreams. And this is very, very important. And we're going to release and activate this weekend.
So, you know, the book of Acts says that your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions because God's poured out his spirit. So would you think there'll be more dreams now than there was in the scripture, or less dreams? Well, we tend to think there's less dreams now, but really the word says there's going to be more dreams. All right, and so we need to understand that dreams and visions are part and parcel, if that's a good terminology, but it's part of God's voice to us to hear and to lead us, particularly into the kingdom. For me, the kingdom is a bit of a cliche amongst too many Christians, and we want to qualify that as much as we can this weekend, because we use it and we don't really understand what it means. All right, but understand this, that dreams and visions are a vehicle to access the kingdom. They're not the whole story, but you'll see the demonstration of that this weekend. So when we're looking for a dream to interpret, and we will interpret over the weekend, we need something really, really short, all right, really short. And that means something in the vicinity of about 15 seconds.
Maximum.
Did you hear that?
I say 5 to 10, but 15.
I like to stretch it out a little bit, but if you do go over 15 seconds, and we're sensing this is going to be like War and Peace you're reading to us or speaking to us, then you'll hear this sound. And we want to be polite, but we will politely ask you to sit down because we want something really short, because what it does is it disrupts the flow of the Spirit of God. And for a long dream is that you need to go with somebody who can interpret dreams. You need to get two big mugs of coffee, a big slab of carrot cake, and you're actually eating the cake as you're drinking the coffee, you're fellowshipping, and you're musing over the word and over the dream that God's given you, and you're relating the word to the dream.
You can tell I've had a lot of long dreams. But we'll be polite, and if it is long, we're very sensitive. We'll say, we are very, you know, we have a pulpit manners, and we'll say, we love you, but we love you to sit down. No, but we will be very, you know, we don't want to embarrass anybody, but it needs to be from 5 to 15 seconds long. And so we can actually do as many dreams as we can and also keep the flow. It's about keeping the flow. Amen.
What you'll find is that as we interpret other people's dreams, your dreams will be unlocked as well. And you'll go, that's what was in my dream. And what it will also do is trigger some of your dreams. You'll go, I remember that dream now. And that's what that means. Okay, I see what's going on here. Now, dreams are not a formula. Most of us want to slot into this routine where we also go, every time you see a tree or a snake or a spider, it means this. It doesn't work like that. It's just like when you're reading the Word of God. You know, if you're reading the Word of God and you see the Hebrew word shama, you can interpret it to be to hear. You could also interpret it to be understanding, all right? And so you could also hear it to be listening. And so there are interpretations, but the context will determine how you interpret that word. It's the same thing with dreams. Every time you see a snake could be the devil. A snake could be a lying spirit because it has a tail. A snake could be poisonous words because if you're bitten by a snake, it could be that someone's spoken to you and it's affected your heart. A snake could be Jesus because he was the bronze serpent hung up on the wilderness. A snake could be wisdom. Do you hear what we're saying? So what we're saying is it's always in context, and so you can't formularize this. You've got to try to see what else is going on in the dream or in the scene that you're seeing. If it's a vision, and then placing that and understanding by the mouth of two or three witnesses, you come to interpret. And so you're looking for other elements in the dream that you can get a lock on for it to make sense. All right, and we'll teach that.
And just to add to that, as Adrian's saying, you don't go straight to the dictionary with the Divinity Code and go, oh, I had a dream. I had a dream about a car. What does that mean? No, that you don't do that, because the dictionary is there. It's a reference point. This is a reference book for you to just, to actually search out what the Holy Spirit is expressing out of your dreams. But see, if you have a dream about a car, it might mean something different to you. Or if you had a dream about a snake, if it doesn't make sense to you at all, you might, you know, if you don't have any pet snakes or anything like that in the backyard, then you go to the scriptures and say, okay, what could it mean? All right. So it's like when someone has a dog, you know, you might love your dog. You might love your dog and you just adore your dog, but it might represent one of your children if your children are growing up and moved on. So it all depends what it means to you. So the Holy Spirit will speak to you like Jesus did. He spoke to the fishermen using metaphors about making fishes of men, the farmer about sowing and reaping, the businessman using the metaphors of talents. So he'll speak to us individually and he'll use references that mean something to us. Does that make sense?
Now, I'm not sure whether you understand this. This is what happened to us. We spent the best part of 5 years putting this together. This is the Divinity Code, which is the book that is basically become the reference book for dream interpretation for charismatics and evangelicals. And so this is the book that is featured on Sid Roth and so on. But you don't have to read that whole book, which is a bit of a relief. It is primarily reference, but there are 10 chapters in the beginning. And just as Adam said, most of us are tarred with the same brush. When we get a dream and we get this book, we go straight to the back to try to work out what our dream means. You know, we've all done that.
We're all guilty.
But really, you need to read the first 10 chapters, which will give you the basis of doing it scripturally so you can understand what God's saying. So please do. If you have this book or if you don't have this book, now, we didn't bring supplies because it was going to cost it. We would have to charge more than $50 a book to sell them to you. So it's ridiculous. But you're better off ordering these from Coorong in Australia, or if Manor have them here.
Manor, all right.
Yes. All right. And also, I understand you don't have snakes in New Zealand, so that didn't make any sense at all anyway, did it, in what we said? So I should have used a different metaphor. But let's talk about trees. No, let's not talk about trees.
We don't actually have any of these on us, but we're just using this as a sample. So you can get them through the bookstores of Manor. But we apologise because it costs so much to bring them out. So what we're going to do is we're going to also, when we do dream interpretations, I will move, and Adrian can too, move in the gifts of words of knowledge. Okay, so it'll be just, it's more than dreams, and so we have actual angels that work with us, and I have an angel that's with me, and that actually I had this encounter in 2006, and I have an angel that releases visions to me, and I see into people's lives, and it can be a bit abstract, but also it can be very detailed. But we do prophesy in part, but I do have an angel. So does some of you. You, in fact, all of you have angels, and a lot of the angels are bought out of their brains. Some of them, because a lot of us don't understand what it is to decree the word of the Lord, and angels do the bidding of the word. It says in Psalms 103. So you need to be open-minded. All right, and some of you may see angels in the meeting, but just for the record, we don't worship angels. All right, I just want to spell that out. It says in Colossians 2, be careful of those who puff themselves up and talk about great things, and they puff themselves up with pride, and they say they've seen great visions, and they come into worship of angels without embracing the head. Who is the head?
Jesus.
So Jesus is the head, and we embrace Jesus. Jesus is our Messiah, and we want you to know we worship him, but angels are our ministry team. And beyond the natural, there's so much going on in the unseen world, and you all have angels, and you need to understand, some of you are activating them, some of you are not aware of it, but you need to activate the angels by decreeing the word of the Lord.
There's a lot in that, isn't there? So let's just qualify that and put a foundation in this. Adam made reference to Psalm 103. It's Psalm 103 verse 20. It says, actually in verse 19 it talks about the king and his kingdom, and then in verse 20 it says, praise the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, taking heed to his voice, doing his commandment, or doing his word. So it's, angels don't obey us, they obey him. But when we line our mouths up with his word and he releases revelation to us, angels go to work.
Right.
Yeah. Does that make sense? Can I be provocative here for a minute? And I just want to challenge your minds. I want to be deliberately provocative. Angels come to earth through your mouth. They don't literally come to earth through your mouth, but when you start to speak in line with the revelation that God releases, they come and they start to work. Do you hear what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is we've got to hear from heaven and then bring that, and heaven comes to earth.
Amen. So also, we're going to release prophetic words, and some of you are going to get amazing words, very encouraging. Most of you will. You all will. We're not here to pull anybody down. We're not here to expose sin. And our heart is for you to be equipped into your destiny. Amen. Now, there's stuff that will be revealed, and we're like icebergs. We only reveal a certain amount of things at the pulpit. Okay, and we like to operate. Our heart is to operate through the Holy Spirit and build up. Okay, now. Some of you are going to get amazing words, and some of you here might go, I know that person. That was a pretty amazing word for that person, but I know that doesn't add up for me because I know they've got issues. That doesn't make sense. I think that prophet's missed it because I know that, you know, they're not very good parents and this and this and this and... You know, and I have a problem with them. I fell out with them 3 years ago, and I have a, you know, guess what? That's your problem. Okay, so God will use people who have issues. And like the woman of the well, she had issues. Jesus waited for a long time for her. And she turned up and he saw into her life. She was a woman who had issues, but she became an amazing evangelist. After she had a revelation of Jesus, she went to Samaria and actually led the whole town of Samaria to Jesus. She was a Samaritan woman and she led the whole town to introduce him. She introduced the whole town to Jesus. Now, I would say that's a revivalist slash evangelist, would you say?
Yeah.
And she had issues. So who hasn't got any issues here? Anyone? Oh, man down the back. Oh, good. Well, because I want impartation at the end. So are you all good with that? Okay, so you just need to be open-minded because God will use anyone who is willing. Not necessarily qualified with their act together, but who is willing to be used. Amen?
Amen. That sounds like I'm really hot. For some reason.
You're hot? You okay?
You know, in 1 Corinthians 14, it says that tongues being a mystery coming through a human vessel and its interpretation coming through a human vessel needs to be judged or weighed. And it equals to the prophecy. Likewise, a dream is a mystery coming from heaven through a human vessel. Its interpretation coming through human vessels, it equally needs to be judged or weighed. What I'm saying to you is this. Don't take every word that someone says to you on board. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Only take on board those things that the Spirit of God witnesses within you. The unction of the Spirit of God will witness what is of God.
Yeah.
And if at this time something that we do release over you doesn't witness with you, put it on the shelf.
Yeah.
Until you hear the voice of two or three witnesses. All right. Often we will step beyond where you're at and we'll release words that you're not aware of, but then suddenly you'll step out into today or tonight and you'll go, whoa, hey, that does make sense now. Suddenly, or tomorrow you'll step out of your door and you go, bam, there it is. And suddenly things start to fall into place and you go, oh, now I know what they were talking about. All right, so what I'm saying is don't like shut off from God, but judge it, weigh it in a sense of is it God and so on. And all of you need to do the same thing. You need to see, is this the voice of God? And when God ministers, when you're doing interpretation or when you're moving in the prophetic, you've got to move with the heart of God.
Yeah, right.
Out of mercy and grace. His glory doesn't manifest apart from his mercy and grace.
Yeah.
We need to remember that. When Moses was exposed, show me your glory, God said, I'll bring all of my goodness and my mercy and grace. And then a great light and that he was hidden in the cleft of the rock. They come together. And it's only as you minister in mercy and grace that the glory will manifest. Amen? So what that also means is as you minister in that Father heart of God, like Adam said, we're not here to expose your issues. We're like icebergs. And it also means this. If you have a negative dream, it won't necessarily have a negative interpretation. Because once you realize you're in your authority, you can speak in the opposite spirit of what that person's experiencing. Not every dream comes from God, but God can interpret every dream. Let me say that again. Not every dream comes from God, but God can interpret every dream. And there are three sources to our dreams. God gives us dreams. Our own heart can flavor the dreams that we dream, and the enemy can influence our dream and vision life. It's discerning which one's speaking, but God overrides every one of those. When Jesus was led into the wilderness, who led him into the wilderness? The Holy Spirit, where he was tempted or tested of the devil. All right, so in one of those temptations or tests, he was taken up to a mountain, shown all the kingdoms of the earth. That means the devil has a capacity because you can't go to a place physically. You couldn't go to Mount Zion, Jerusalem. You couldn't go to Mount Everest and see all the kingdoms of the earth because not only are they geographically removed, but they are in different epochs of time, different dispensations of time. So what that says is that the enemy has a capacity to create vision. You hear what I'm saying? So our job is to discern the source and then speak into it what God sees in that situation.
Now, we're going to go into it, but before we, just one more thing. Please don't come up with half of a dream to make it short because we will detect that too, but we will give you the wrong interpretation and we'll pick up that something's not right. So don't come and give us half of the dream and please don't come up with somebody else's dream, all right? And also we know when someone makes up a dream. But So I'm just sort of letting you know for the record, we want to make it flow and we want this to be a benefit for you. And this is not a hype. We're not at a floor show here. This is real. And we're just going to go into this. I think we're qualified enough, haven't we, Adrian?
We can do some stuff on the
way. We can just qualify as we go. But the reason why we got sounds, and it's very crucial for us to have sounds in our ministry, and we do flow in the Holy Spirit with sounds. And the reason why is because the Holy Spirit moves when there's worship, constant worship. And I had an encounter back in Hong Kong, back probably about 6 years ago. I had an encounter of heaven. I had many encounters of heaven. I don't choose to go to heaven by my own will, but I have these encounters. And that all comes with meditating on the Word of God. And when you meditate on the Word, meditation brings manifestation. So when you wrap your imagination around the Word of God, right, you start to open the door. You're pursuing the kingdom of heaven, and the door opens up, and you can walk through it, and Jesus is the door. That's why people meditate on stuff that's demonic, and you see this bad news, because people are meditating on ungodly things, and there's ungodly doors, there's hell doors opening up, and there's an ungodly revival that's spilled out on the earth, because people are meditating on the wrong things. So I had this heavenly encounter, and what happened was that I was on the edge of heaven, I believe, in the metropolitan type of area of heaven, and I heard these sounds. And if you could put those sounds on a loop, right, there's actually a little system there that you can actually click it on a loop when you open it up. If you can just, whatever you select, it should have a little loop symbol there. But these sounds that I've heard, right, if you just keep it on the loop, and then it just keeps playing over and over. But this is the closest thing I've heard in heaven. All right, everything is just worshiping the Lord. Everything has these sounds, and everything's just coming out with waves of sounds and love. And even the plant life is worshiping the Lord with sounds. And this is the air, what it sounds like on the edge of heaven, very similar. Just harmonies. And what happened was, I was so moved in awe of the love of God, and everything was just worshiping the Lord. And as I was in this place, I heard these sounds, and it changed into a different melody. And then I heard this male voice sing. I'm not sure if I shared this before, but I heard this male voice sing an old Pentecostal song, and I didn't see the person, but I heard this male voice just worshiping the Lord from the distance. And he sang this song that I can sing of your love forever. And it was this male voice, you know that old Pentecostal song? And I remember I didn't see the Lord with me, but I knew he was with me. I felt the Spirit of God with me. And I said, just on my own, and I thought I was on my own at the time, I went, I know that song. I used to sing that song. And the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, well, that song already existed before it came to earth. So there's songs that exist in heaven that you haven't even written yet. That we haven't written yet. So those who are actually worshippers, God's wanting you to tap in. How many people have experienced hearing sounds while you're sleeping? Music while you're sleeping? You're tapping into heaven and God's giving you downloads. And this is why we like to flow in this, don't we, Adrian? Okay, I like to call it sounds and wonders. Where God just releases and heaven opens up. And we're going to just for a moment before we minister, we're going to just engage, all of us just engage. And we can just have that up a little bit, just a tad. And I want you just to fix your eyes on the author and the finisher of our faith. It says in Hebrews 12. And just for a moment, just worship softly in the Spirit. Just tap into the waves of heaven. Yeah. Ariama rogo sikere le 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 Holy Spirit, Ramasikara Mabasuka, Horamasikara. There's a door standing open here right now. Horamasie, yeah, yeah. There's angels ascending and descending, giving glory to the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We thank you for the open heaven right now. Ramasika, Ramasuka, Aliyama Rugosie, yeah, 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 yeah. Ira masura maragasi uriara masi There's a rhythm of heaven. Keep flowing. Keep flowing. There's a rhythm of heaven right now. Angels ascending and descending. The heartbeat of heaven. There's an open vortex. Lord Jesus, you are here right now. There's the pillar of fire by night, the glory cloud by day. Shakarama barugu Mama Borrogo Sine. Oh, there's a company of the company of heaven is here right now. The glory's not coming down, we're getting lifted up. Shakara Borrogo Sine. Oh, there you go. There you go. Oh, the glory is here right now. We thank you for the rhythm of heaven. As Ezekiel 47, the river of God is flowing out of the temple. Everything it touches turns to life. There's healing this weekend. The revelation of Isaiah 53 is manifesting this weekend. Some of you are never going to be the same again physically. Shakara maroko sike. Whoa. Yeah, right now there's a cascade of the Spirit of God. It's the river of God. It's like liquid light. Whoo, it's the glory. The glory. The glory. Oh, I'm feeling better right now. It's best to be better. Whoo. Jesus is in the house. It's better than Elvis. Oh, there you go. There you go. Just drink it. Drink it. There's a holy cascade. Just drink it, Freddie, drink it. Just lap it up. There you go. Lap it up. Oh. Oh. Whoa. Now I feel it's easy to minister like this. See, this is what we teach. If you're going to prophetically move in the gifts, invite the Holy Spirit to possess the whole room, possess your life. He already is, but just ask, give him, acknowledge him, ask him to take over, because that's when you start flowing in the realms, where and the angelic realm is interacting with the Holy Spirit, and that way you're not prophesying out of your soul. Now, you can have that down a smidge, but just keep it under us while we're talking. We're going to constantly have these sounds. This is how we roll. But who's going to actually going to go first for a short dream interpretation? The lady at the back in the purple was the first one. I think it's purple. They always look behind them. I don't know why they do that. But, yeah, it's you. Yes, ma'am. Now, we need a catcher ready on board. I haven't actually asked. Sometimes we forget things. So we need a catcher, and we probably need somebody on the church team who's good at praying for people as well. I'm not sure if that's available or not. So if you can just come over here, honey, and we're just going to listen to your dream. And it's very short. Good. Now speak loud and I'll hold the mic up, okay?
My dream was of three aeroplanes, and they were the older ones that had like a propeller, and there was fire coming up from the nose point of the plane. Of the three planes, fire was coming out of each.
So because dreams are not a formula, you need to find context. So what we'll do to find context is it's okay to ask questions. And for this reason, we don't receive written dreams. So people send us written dreams, but we don't respond to that. We just say to them, look, we don't interpret written dreams, because that is so open to being inaccurate, because you're not getting enough context. And to get context, you've got to ask the who, what, when, where, how, and type why questions. So we're going to ask this now. When a person's sharing their dream, they've obviously not shared everything in that scene. So I'm going to try to fill that scene out a little, and that's what you need to do as you're listening to a dream and with your own dreams. You said they were the older type planes with propellers. Are they World War One or World War Two type planes?
Like, you know how you have
the biplane with two wings or one wing?
Sorry, two wings.
Two wings. So they had two. Each plane has two wings. Like, so they're
the red banners.
Sorry, like one wing each side, but two wings.
So we're talking.
Sorry.
We're talking about, so were they fighter planes or were they DC-3s? What sort of planes?
They're kind of like a DC-3.
DC-3, so a commercial aircraft, the first type of commercial aircrafts. Okay. All right, well, that'll tell us something. There were three of them, and there was fire that was going up from the motor or from behind the propeller somewhere. A fire was going upwards?
Yes.
All right, so a fire was going up. Were they any particular colour?
I can't remember.
All right, so they weren't silver, because the old DC-3s might have been silver in colour.
I think it's probably like when I think of plane, I automatically think of white or silver.
White, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's white or silver would be good. Silver's redemptive in Scripture, and white would be right or righteous with God, and so it could be indicative of something. Now, we're looking at three things or three elements. Anything with wings is spirit. So a bird is a picture of something spiritual. Also, fish have wings. We call them flippers and fins. They're just in a different medium. All right, so anything with whales, fish, that is also a picture of something in the spirit realm as well. Now, so when you're looking at a dream, you're looking at context. So we're looking at three elements in the spirit, and they've got propellers. Now, a propeller, because it's circular, right, has no beginning, no end, what does it mean? It is spirit, all right? So something's being driven by the spirit. Now, what would you think would be suggested by the fact that they're, in a sense, an old model plane? All right, so we're going to go, well, they're not modern 737s or whatever the latest things, you know, A380s or whatever, but they are something that was a bit old time, in a sense. So we could be looking at three individuals. We could be looking at three churches. We could be looking at something like that. But we know here from this dream that there was fire going upwards from them. So obviously there's a candle or there's a fire or some sort of burning. There's a burning or an altar there. There's something within that organization. Now, because airplanes carry more than one person normally, it's suggestive that perhaps they're corporate bodies. Now, each of them, were they flying on the same level or were they at different levels?
They were in the tarmac.
They weren't flying at all.
No.
But their propellers were going.
I knew they had propellers.
I pictured them in the air, didn't you?
Mm.
And I pictured them all parallel. So it's a good thing that we asked questions, wasn't it? Because they're all on the ground.
So all three lined up beside each other.
They were ready to fly, though.
What were you sensing when the planes were on the tarmac? Was the fire bad or good?
The fire was good. Like, it wasn't in, like, an engine. on the, you know, have the engines on the wings, not like you'd think, oh, it's on fire, but it felt like a good fire.
See how with Adrian saying it's very important to ask questions, because if we got a written dream, you can't just willy-nilly just interpret it. You need to ask, because sometimes people forget things, and being on the actual tarmac is very important, isn't it, Adrian?
So obviously that means they're not quite in the spirit yet, or they're not quite in the air. Now, we don't know whether the propeller was turning, because our sister didn't tell us that, and she's not sure whether they were turning, but they had fires in them, so they're in a sense, and it wasn't a consuming fire. Not that, oh, that's probably a wrong word, because we think of our God as a consuming fire, but they're not, they're friendly fire, not something that's destructive. Because fire can be judgment in a dream.
Like right? In the book of Acts, you know, when you think of tongues of fire, it was sort of like...
Okay. Hello.
Kind of, you know, not, you know, not nasty.
Yeah, that's a good one, yeah.
So in context, we want to know when this lady had the dream, or our sister had the dream. When did you have that dream?
Probably 3 or 4 months ago. I get a lot of dreams, but that's probably the shortest one.
So there's something there that you remember from 3 or 4 months ago. Timing would also be part of that context as well. All right, it seems to me that what I was seeing here is three congregations, and they're more mature, or you know, they're of a different vintage, as it were, but they've got the fire of God, and they're ready to take off. I would see that there. All right? You don't know whether there were people on board at all. They were near a hangar, or they were actually just out in the open in the on the tarmac, or the bitumen, or the concrete.
I didn't see any pet. Okay. I only saw the planes.
And another thing that we saw here is this. How you felt in a dream is critically important. Two dreams can have the same imagery in it, but how you feel about the situation can change. So a person could be flying and be exuberant. They're doing loop-the-loops and so on. But if a person's flying and they're really fearful, it means they're not used to moving in the gifts of the Spirit or moving in the Spirit. But if they're really enjoying themselves, they're stepping out and they're really enjoying moving in the Spirit. You see what I'm saying? But both of them show a depiction of moving in the things of the Spirit, all right, in the aeroplane. So how you feel is really important. So it's important that you ask those questions. And normally, that'll give you an indicator whether it's positive or negative. And if it is negative, you've got to understand your authority. You can speak the opposite spirit into being as you see that. Because often God will give you the plans of the enemy in a dream or a vision. So he's showing you what's going on in the second heaven. It's not a fait accompli. It's not a done deal. You have the authority to speak into that situation in the opposite if it's a negative. So if you see death, you can speak life. All right, if you see sickness, you can speak health. If you see a marriage breakup, you can speak union. Do you hear what I'm saying? You have that authority.
Just to follow on from Adrian, now, you have children?
Yes, I've got two. One's two. Married and one's at home.
So, the reason why I'm asking you, there's three of you.
Yes, and that's our five. Yeah.
Yeah, and don't tell me anything, because the reason why I'm asking how many kids you got, because I saw that there was three of you living in one in one place, one home. And what happened is there's been I've saw some visions, and that's why I love ministering with Adrian, why he's teaching. I can go into trance like this. And I can see stuff and I see visions, and I see that there's been some there's been a religious trauma that's actually has tried to bring destruction to your family. And that actually has quenched the Holy Spirit, quenched the Spirit of God, or blown the candle out of the life. And but what's actually happening now that you're about to take off, right? You've had burnout, and your husband has, but you're about to take off, right? And the fire represents the fire of the Holy Ghost, as you mentioned. That's what I was asking the questions about, the fire. The fire represents the baptism of the Holy Spirit and coming back into the apostolic calling. And I really believe I see you and even your children actually taking a baton and taking the mantle that what you guys actually have had seen and actually has carried in the past. You're going to actually see it released again. But there's been a religious spirit that has actually tried to quench what God is doing, is actually try to shut you down. And even a religious spirit when it comes to works, and when it comes to condemnation and actually religious, it's like a religious oppression of self-works. And I'm going to break that off of your family, but I see that you actually come into a place. Also, with the business, there's like a business blessing being resurrected. And I'm just don't tell me anything. All right. It's best not to tell me anything, because I see a vision of the God has actually has blessed you, but then there's almost like flat line when it comes to the business. But now God's going to bring resurrection of that, and I'm seeing that there's been a lot of grief over that, and it's almost caused almost destruction in the family. But God's actually bringing resurrection back to the whole family and also to the business, and there's going to be a financial blessing. And also I want to decree that the house is going to be protected as well, right? Because there's been a lot of grief where the enemy tried to take your house. And we're going to pray that there's going to be blessings and that it's going to be completely debt-free and you actually have the mortgage wiped away, and there's actually title deeds that you're actually going to actually declare and have. And that's something that's been grieving you. But also there's a mantle that you've seen a move of God, and you've seen you've had an encounter with God. And that actually is going to be handed over to your children as well. I'm seeing there's a specific anointing, there's a prophetic mantle over one of your children. Do you have any daughters? Yeah. Okay. Well, there's two of them that are called, but one of them actually has a prophetic mantle over her life, and God wants to ignite that when it comes to worship. All right. There's a worship prophetic mantle over her life, and God wants to ignite that and bring divine order to the whole family, where you're actually going to see revival manifest, and that God's going to provide financially, so you're completely free, and that is going to be resurrected. And I see that that's going to, with the finance resurrected, you're going to, it's like these ministries that God's given you is going to actually also on top of the business, it's going to be, you're going to about to take off and become airborne. As Isaiah 40, it talks about wings of an eagle. You're not going to be weary anymore. And also I want to pray, I'm getting in the vision that also the fatigue is going to lift off you as well. There's chronic fatigue. The angels here show me there's affection in the blood. Where there's a chronic fatigue, there's some poison in the blood we're going to remove, where that your body's going to come into full-on energy. And that's going to, the fatigue's going to lift off. The heaviness on your head as well is going to lift off. And God wants to bring divine order right through your body so you can have supernatural energy. And God wants to bring divine order even with the blood as well. We prophesy. Put your hands out for a minute. I'm not putting anything on you. I'm just seeing this in the spirit. And we decree the fire of God right now over this family, and I just break off also depression. And I'm seeing that in the spirit. The enemy actually has I'm seeing the enemy's put like a black beanie over your head. I'm going to remove that off you. I'm seeing it in the spirit. It's actually depression that's caused her to melt down, and that's actually caused the fatigue as well, and that's actually caused also toxins in her blood. I want you to reach your hands out to our sister, and we're going to remove this off her head because her family's free. And her family's coming into divine order. Yes. Yes. We release the power of God over her right now. Put your hands out. Yes. Come on, just keep your hands out. Just pray in the Holy Spirit for a minute. Yes. Lord, release your power right now. And we decree right now that cap, that beanie that's over her head right now, is lifted off. We break it off right now in Jesus' name. We decree the fire of God, and we decree divine order right through her body right now in Jesus' name. And I'm going to put your hand on your throat as well, because at night when you sleep, I'm going to take off that snake that's trying to choke you right now. It's a lying spirit. We break that off. The enemy's trying to lie to you to bring depression. We break that off right now. Oh, there it is. The glory of God's coming upon her. We thank you. We're removing that depression, and you're releasing the fire of God, and you're releasing excitement, blessings, and we thank you for the financial breakthrough. We remove that curse right now of financial destruction. There it is. Just take my hand for a minute, because the glory of God's getting stronger. Here it comes. Here it comes. The power of God's coming upon you. We break off that lying spirit, and I release the fire of God right through the vertebrae of your back as well. There it is. There it is. Jesus has been released over your whole body. Here it comes. Come on, saints. How hungry are you for this woman to be set free? You've got to see her like she's your own sister, your own mother. Release the power, and we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. We break off false responsibility off the husband as well. Lord, release the fire of God. Oh, Jesus. 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 There's a lot of glory over you because God's actually resurrecting not only the business, but also resurrecting your destiny. Whew. Father, release the power right through the center of her back. Right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And we prophesy the daughters, but one of them is actually moving in the prophetic anointing to worship and call things that are not as though they are. We thank you for healing. Jesus. Jesus. How are you feeling right now? A lot happier? You seem happy. I can see you got teeth. You're smiling, which is a good sign. So we thank you for that, Lord. We just thank you and we seal this with the blood of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that stuff that was not even being spoken out in the dream, God revealed some secrets today. And we prophesy, we call it in right now. When your word will not, Lord, your word will not return empty. And we decree, Lord, that there's a testimony out of this. And there's healing in every angles, even not only your body, but also with the marriage and also with the children. We thank you for divine order of the whole family. In Jesus' name, bless you.
There's something in that dream that, you know, like the fact that they were DC-3s, which is a commercial aircraft, also means, I was seeing it as a corporate gathering, but what it means is that our sister has the capacity to carry a lot. So does her husband and so do her children. Wow. All right, so it means that you can carry a lot. You know, you've got a lot to bring in the spirit. All right.
Hallelujah. Actually, hang on a minute. I'm getting other visions right now. Excuse me. But I want to break off a religious cult off a family line. I want to break that off as well. And I just want to break off because it started off once upon a time in God, but there's been a religious cult that's affected the family. And also, I want to break it off the father's side right now. In Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. That's been broken off. We're no longer bound by the curse of the law, but the enemy can manipulate us to believe and come under any lies, and we break that off right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you, honey. Go away and celebrate what God's done. And we want to hear a good report, a testimony out of it. Amen.
Wasn't that good?
Yeah.
Ma'am, do you want to come up?
Hi, I'm Jessica. I had a dream this week, probably about Monday or Tuesday night, where I was pregnant and actually gave birth to a little girl called Rosalie Elise, and she had beautiful olive skin, and I remember breastfeeding her on my right breast.
All right, sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Can't argue with that one.
Can't. Now, giving birth means there's a new beginning of something. Or get the sense of a new beginning. If you give birth to a boy, it's a promise. If you give birth to a girl, it's likely to be an expression of ministry in some way, shape, and form. All right? Or, you know, like in Scripture, you'll see that God uses personification in Scripture. So, for example, if you read the book of Proverbs 1, 2, 8, 9, you'll find that wisdom is a lady. All right. So in a dream, wisdom could be a baby or a girl. All right. You also find out that in the book of Ephesians that the church is called the bride of Christ. Correct? Yeah. So God uses personification. Sometimes the people or the elements in the dream aren't literal. They're figurative. And so what you're seeing is a picture of another form. So God's using Hebraic poetry to speak to us. We're just dull. Right, and that dullness or that understanding has got to be opened in our hearts. Right, and so what you've got to do as you're discerning and listening to the dream, all the elements in this dream suggest that something's going to be birthed. Now, she was breastfeeding on her right breast. What's significant about the right? What do you know in Scripture about the right versus the left? The right could be the hand of authority. It could be the hand of strength. But when Jesus separated the sheep from the sheep went to the right and the goats went to the left. The sheep says that the sheep or the right speaks of the realm of faith, of belief. And the goats or the left can speak of the natural man All right, so if it were your legs and your right leg and your left leg, it would mean that's your spirit, that's your natural man. So if you got hurt in your left leg, you were physically hurt in some way, shape, and form. But if you were hurt on your right leg, your spirit's been hurt. All right, do you hear what I'm saying? Jesus said, throw the net out on the right side to the disciples. They've got to start to move in faith rather than in the natural. So you, all right, so you hear what we're saying? So in that dream, it's a really good thing to recount the dream. I would say that 1 in 5, 1 in 6 people would add or embellish the dream as you understand it, or you may have missed some things, or they may have missed some things in the heat of the moment telling the dream. So what I understood of what you said was that 2 or 3, maybe Monday or Tuesday night this week, you gave birth to a baby girl, and you said that you started to feed it with your right breast. Is it, you said something else, but I've forgotten it. And it had olive skin.
Olive skin, yes.
Well, what's suggested by that? You know, I mean, you got the word olive in there already. And you would think something's being birthed in the Holy Ghost. You would think, all right, wouldn't you? All right, so it sounds promising, doesn't it? It does. It sounds like something's taking place here in the Spirit of God. Adam.
This is what I see, and I'm going to share a little bit about this afterwards. I believe that you're giving birth, and your future, even your children can represent your future as well. So you're giving birth, even though you had it in a dream that's a child. In the future, God wants you to nurture. When I say nurture, even breastfeeding can be nurture, but also embrace as well, wisdom. Because God's actually calling you to move in the gifts, but God wants to impart wisdom to you, the wisdom to have an understanding, because you do have some gifts. And God's given you some gifts. And even in the past, there's been some stuff that's been exposed to you from the other side, that the enemy's actually, you know, there's actually a chain I want to break off I'm not putting this on you, but there's something to do with the generational chain of divination and witchcraft, especially being tied to your family. And there's even that someone actually spoke some stuff over your life when you were a child. We're going to break that off as well. And we're going to move in the realm under the power of the Holy Spirit. But God's given you a gift, and the enemy tried to pervert that gift when you were younger. And that witchcraft is going to come off. And even some stuff that that actually has been outside the counsel of God. Also, I want to come against, years ago, I just see a figure of a woman who was a witch, and I want to break that off as well, something to do with the past, with a woman who's been praying over your family. We're going to break that off as well. You might not know anything about this, but I'm seeing it in the spirit, right? But we're going to break that off. There's some witches' covens that have been praying for against families, and I see that it's been over your family. And I want to break off also the orphan spirit, because you're going to come into such a revelation what it is to actually come in the intimacy of having a father, all right? Because the father's love wants to invade your life, and you've been disconnected from that, and God wants to invade your life over that. And that's why there's been some stuff you're not aware about. There's been some the dark side, the witches have been praying against some stuff and praying against the anointing that's over your life. But today's a day where that's going to be, it's going to backflip. And this is years ago. I'm not putting on this on you now, but I'm saying this because there's some stuff there's stuff that has opened up in your mind years ago where it's still allowing some stuff in to bring confusion. I want to break off confusion over your mind. And sometimes you come into a place where there's such confusion can cause chaos, and sometimes you forget things, and that's going to come off as well. All right. The reason why I'm telling you this, I'm saying this as a prophet of God, and we prophesy in part, but I'm seeing stuff. The angels here showing me this. And I want to break off, I see that you've been left somewhere as a child, right? And I want to break that off as well, where I'm seeing that there's a feeling of abandonment that's coming off as well. You've been left as a child somewhere, and there's a time where you actually were found. I'm reading what I'm seeing, but the Lord has shown me this in a vision that as a baby, right, God is actually, it's almost like a little Moses, where God's actually has led you into the right path. And even though there's been a tug of war all your life, now there's a time where God wants to release an anointing on you for you to come into such a birthing of wisdom so you can actually fulfill the plan of God as a as having a prophetic ministry. God wants to give you that wisdom that comes with the prophetic. And that's what I'm going to teach a little bit tonight. I really see that you're going to operate through the lens of the Father's love. All right? So I'm not putting you down. I'm just seeing this in the dream. I believe it's very important for you to embrace wisdom, because that's actually come from above. And I'm going to share a little bit more about that. But also I want to pray also in the around the actual just around the hip lower back area. I want to pray divine order around the sort of the hip area. And I want to pray that when you walk, right, you're walking where there's no, where you don't actually fall over. I want to pray that you actually got strong legs, all right? I want to pray that your legs are pretty sturdy, and there's an anointing on you for to run as well. And I want to pray for that anointing over you to outrun the chariot, and that even though you do it in the spirit, but I just see that God's actually giving you strength to actually be able to run. And I see that God wants to bring divine order also through your glands as well. God wants to heal your glands. And if you can just put your hands out to receive, Adrian, you help me out here, just to pray for her, because I just see that your glands going to bring divine order to your whole body physically. All right, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And there's some stuff that I've released, but I'm saying it to reverse it. All right, I'm not putting anything on you. All right. And I'm just saying this because I'm seeing it, the angel standing here showing me visions, and you're going to have strength in your legs. Right, so that you can run, and there's actually the God wants to bring divine order to the heart as well. When you actually there's the rhythm of your heart when you sleep, right? Because you know what I'm talking about. The heart is out of whack, but the rhythm when you sleep, it causes that to be out of whack. And there's a spirit that's actually been attacking you at night, and that's going to come off as well. Now there's about 10 layers there that God's shown me. But how many people believe this woman is free? Yes. How many people believe she has an anointing gift to be prophetic? Yes. And God's called her to smash the demonic realm. Yes. And God's called her to actually intercede and be prophetic and lead people to Christ. And people come, and you know what, strangers, I'm seeing visions of strangers talking to you. And you have the gift to be able to speak to strangers and make friends. There's an anointing for you to do that. In fact, one of them is an angel. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? God's confirming this tonight. One of them is actually an angel, all right? So when you actually, don't be afraid. It talks about it in the scriptures to talk to strangers, but strangers come to you. And you have the anointing to actually, it's actually in a gift of evangelism as well as prophetic, all right? Because your heart's in the right place, but sometimes this heaviness that sort of comes and brings confusion can cause you to not make the right decisions, all right? But God wants to bring wisdom to this woman of God, and we love her. Amen? Amen. She's part of our family. You probably live next door to me one day in the kingdom. You never know. So why don't you reach your hands out and pray for our sister, because we've got a prophetic ministry activated tonight, and the glory of God is here. Whew. You're going to release the word of God at the right timing to the strangers. And Father, we thank you for the body of Christ is stepping right into her right now. When I say the body, I mean literally Jesus himself stepping right into her right now, bringing divine order to her glands, bringing divine order to her creative ability when she sees visions and puts them down on paper. Lord, release that mantle right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that you're giving her strength to her hips and to her legs. And I thank you that her heart is coming, the divine order, the rhythm of her heart when she sleeps. She's not stopping breathing. And I come against that spirit that's trying to choke you. You know what I'm talking about? That's coming off right now. We remove it off right now. There's no more choking in the night. Right now, we release the power of God and we decree healing. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that orphan spirit's breaking off. You invade her, Heavenly Father, the love of God. Nurture her. Whew. And nurture her for the eyes of the Father, Heavenly Father. Your eyes brings wisdom from above. Oh, there's a lot of anointing on you. And right now I shut down those, even though we are not bound by the curse of the law, but there's a couple of things you come under without knowing. And we shut down those demonic prayers from the enemy that's been trying to put curses on her family, right? We smash it in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you that she is on your radar. That's why the enemy's intimidated. So we just release the power of God right now. Whew. And we decree a good report brought by faith in Jesus' name.
Also, God says that you are protected in his love. You're Rosalie. Rose is love. And Lee means you're hidden out of the wind, out of the turbulence. So God's saying you are protected in his love.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Bless you. Bless you. This. Jesus. Ma'am, do you have a short dream? Yeah. Just stand up because God wants to bring healing to you because there's an angel standing next to you. Put your hands out for a minute. We release the power of God right through her right now. Lord, we thank you for bringing divine order through her body. We decree, Lord Jesus, that her organs are kick-started back in divine order. And we prophesy that, Lord, that the blood levels are coming in the divine order. And Lord, we decree right now that her levels of her blood have been completely restored into divine order in Jesus' name. We prophesy this in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, even through the sciatic area, right through the back, Lord, we decree the fire of God right through her back right now. Release the power of the blood of Jesus right now. We decree it right now. Give us strength through her whole body. Release it right now. And Lord, we decree the fire of God right through, Lord, right through her legs and through her knees. We decree the fire of God is giving her strength. Release your power. Release your power. And I just want to just take your hand for a minute. Just hold my hand for a minute. Release the power of the blood of Jesus over this woman right now. We thank you for a blood transfusion in the spirit right now. We decree that the blood is her blood is exchanging with your blood. And we decree, Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name, that right now you're releasing the fire of God right through the stomach area. Whew. 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 And put your hand on your heart. Just put your hand on your heart. Yeah, we just release the power of God right through her body. We break off all cells that are from the enemy causing any spirit of death. We break it off right now. We decree this right now. We decree the fire of God over her right now. And we just thank you, Lord. There's a lot of things that have been called out, but I'm just going to break a spirit of death that tries to cause your life to be put on hold. We break it off right now. We decree right now that her cells, right now, the cells from the enemy that's trying to cause a growth is coming out right now. And we decree the fire of God right now, right through her body. Right now, release it, Jesus. There it is. There it is. There it is. There it is. You've got strength in the legs, strength in the knees right now. Jesus, 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 Jesus.
I've only got one real leg.
Okay, I didn't know that. Well, God wants to release the power of the blood right now through your body. Whew. And Lord, we just thank you for the body coming in the divine order right through the back area. We release the fire of God. Equip her back right now to give her strength that she can stand up a long time right now. We release that. And God's put his words in your mouth over your family. I just see there's a prophetic anointing for you to prophesy. I see gold dust being on you in the past. Have you had gold dust on you? Have you ever seen gold dust before? I want to release that right now. And I want to pray the blood circulation is coming in the divine order as well. Lord, we release gold dust right now over this woman of God. Whew. Whew. I just want to put your hand on your stomach too, because I want to pray that the divine order, this is going to come off your, this growth is coming out right now. We destroy it through the power of the blood, and the spirit of death is coming off right now. And the reason why I asked you to put your hand on your heart, because God wants to emotionally heal you, because emotionally your heart has just been under anxiety too with the family. We decree divine order as well and the finance in Jesus' name. So everybody agrees this woman of God is completely free, healed. and the spirit of death is lifted off. No more bad reports. The cells in a body are coming into divine order. The enemy is completely removing growths. God is removing the growth of the enemy, I should say. It's a lying spirit. And we decree right now that everything comes into divine order in Jesus' name. And we just celebrate the resurrection power of this woman of God. Amen. So what I want to do before we finish up... Now, just this relates to the word this lady had tonight. And tomorrow we're going to do a lot of teaching in the morning. Adrian's going to do a lot of teaching, and we're going to do some impartation tomorrow afternoon. We're going to do a lot of dream interpretation, so you can't miss tomorrow. So tomorrow we're going to impart. What you've seen us do together tonight, we're going to impart. Now, it's going to get stronger, the anointing. It's going to be a lot more words released, so I want you to be excited. But I just want to share a few things. And this, because a lot of you are going to walk away this weekend moving in the gifts, all right? Because we impart our gifts. And the Apostle Paul says, how I long to impart my gift into you. So this is transferable, amen? But one thing is so essential is for us to walk into the wisdom and revelatory knowledge. And I had an angelic encounter in Papua New Guinea in 2014. I've been to Papua New Guinea many times, and I was with a friend of mine who was one of my coordinators, and she passed away to be with the Lord, God bless her, but she's a friend who coordinated a lot of my trips personally with my personal ministry, Voice of Fire, and we were staying in Lae, Papua New Guinea, a town called Lae, and what happened was I was ministering there, and I've been ministering there off and on. And I was a time where I released the word to the whole nation on radio. And I spoke in the government, the parliament. Anyhow, I was asleep one night in the mission house. And we had a few people with us in different rooms. And in the middle of the night, I heard these kind of sounds like this again. These sounds that woke me up. But what happened was I had a vision. And I saw this vision... vivid vision of a very ugly man. He was so ugly, and he had these huge, big, ugly ears. It made Prince Charles look like he had small ears, you know what I mean? So he had these huge, ugly ears, and he was a really ugly man. And I'm thinking, why am I seeing this? Anyway, this man was standing there. I was a bit like startled of this ugly man. And his ears started to flap. And it turned into wings, his ears morphed into wings. And he morphed into such a handsome man, like a handsome dude. But his ears were wings on the side of his head. And then he flew away. And I said to myself, you don't see that every day. And you're probably thinking... what are you talking about, Adam? I mean, if you have a problem with that, just read the book of Ezekiel. He saw some weird things. You know what I mean? So I saw this vision, and he flew away. But then as he flew away, I heard with these type of sounds, just layers of sounds. And I turned the other side, and I saw this angel behind me in this room that was literally worshipping God and singing, this literal angel. And as he was singing... he was actually speaking in the old King James Version, which I don't really like the old King James type of, you know, when someone gives a word with you, thus says the Lord, saith the Lord, you go, just speak normal, you know. But this angel was singing in that type of vernacular, and I'm going, okay, obviously that's okay then. But he was saying, direct thee, O Lord. And this angel was interceding for me and praying. And then it just stopped, and I sort of snapped out of this encounter, and I was a bit freaked out by it. And I literally got up and went outside the room, and my coordinator from the other room in the mission house said, what was that amazing, beautiful music? And I said, did you hear that? She said, yes. It was so awesome. It was beautiful. What was it? I thought, I said, well, it was actually, I had an angel encounter. She went, really? So I was wondering where that sound was coming from. I thought, well, you had the laptop left open or something. But she said it was too amazing to be normal music. I said, that was an angel. Wow. So I had this angelic encounter, and the Lord spoke to me about this. All right, now I've got a point. There's an interpretation. The man represented the body of Christ, right? And this man that was ugly, see, the Lord was showing me through the interpretation, I had to pray and ask, what was his vision? What does it mean, Lord? What are you saying? Well, the Lord showed me that there's a time where the body of Christ wasn't very attractive. Right, now we do talk about the bride, which can be beautiful, but this was a man that wasn't very attractive. And the Lord was showing me that the body of Christ wasn't attractive. It was quite ugly. And the ears, when it started to flap, ears can represent the prophetic. You hear the voice of God. And when it started to flap and the man morphed into a good-looking man and it was actually represented Jesus and flew away, means that God is actually is equipping the body. To equip the body to actually hear the voice of God and become prophetic. And this is, God was showing me the hour of the body of Christ. This is the hour for the body of Christ to embrace the prophetic, to hear the voice of God, and actually have wings. In other words, going to the Spirit, getting caught up, having encounters. All right? And the body of Christ is obviously all of us coming together. And the Lord showed me that he gave me a mandate through this encounter. Now, since 1999, I'm getting a little bit warm in here, so if you don't mind me taking this off. I've been doing crusades throughout the world. I've been doing, before the Divinity Code, I did a lot of crusades, evangelism, feeding programs, a lot of mission work. I remember we hired what we call the gospel boat throughout the Philippines and sailed throughout the Philippines, seeing many souls come into the kingdom. And we remember we got caught in a typhoon. This is like these, those type of boats can be homemade boats in those places. Caught in typhoons and nearly shipwrecked and, nearly been eaten. I got eaten by fire ants and, carrying my luggage above the water where there's infested waters with sea snakes and all this sort of stuff where we've seen many souls come to the kingdom. But I actually lived like that for about 15 years, preaching the gospel in the undeveloped countries. But the Lord, and I'm all for evangelism, and we all need to be evangelistic, not evangelistic, but evangelistic. We all need to win souls. He who wins souls is wise. And let me tell you, if you feel like you haven't done anything for the Lord, you actually bear fruit and you put your talent on interest if you win one person to the Lord. Did you know that? If you do that while your heart is beating and you live your whole life, you led one person to the Lord, then you actually stand before the Lord and you put your talent on interest. Am I making sense? Because God didn't save us to sit on our hands. He saved us to fulfill our destiny, but also to win souls for the kingdom. So I believe strongly in that. But the Lord showed me in this encounter I had in Papua New Guinea, he said, Adam, I'm always going to win souls, but my mandate is to travel the world and equip the body to have a prophetic voice and to have wisdom. See, the church today, a lot of leaders throw the prophetic out. Did you know that? Most of you must know that because the mainstream get freaked out. And I kind of understand in a way because I was a pastor for 9 years. Adrian was a pastor, senior pastor for years. And we understand that you get some people who can operate in the prophetic but then don't have any wisdom. And they can misrepresent the prophetic calling and the giftings by missing it and doing stuff that can be out of the soulish realm. Am I making sense? And that's why the pastor shuts it down, because he gets spooked and kind of in a way they throw the baby out with the bathwater, if you know what I mean. And it's very important, though, for the body of Christ to be equipped and to become prophetic and actually come to a place where you're maturing, where you're operating out of the wisdom and revelatory knowledge, because this is an hour where the body of Christ is coming into a place to be able to interpret dreams out of wisdom, be prophetic, stand before rulers and leaders of this world and have influence. Am I making sense? In Daniel 2, when he explains about the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had about the statues with different metals, who's aware of that? The statues with different metals. The gold represents Babylon. The silver represents Persia. The bronze, Greece. The iron legs, Rome. And then there's iron mixed with clay. And that's talking about this generation. It's talking about a generation where man is mixing with technology. And it's going to fail. And the enemy's going to use technology to counterfeit the supernatural, and there's a contest. Right? But then it talks about, as you read it, a rock raising up and smashing the whole statue, destroying it, smashing the iron and clay, the feet. And that represents Christ, generally. He's going to destroy the kingdom of man. He's coming back. But also, God showed me it can be us that impacts leaders in this generation. And God is raising up men and women in the body of Christ to move in the same authority and wisdom that Joseph and Daniel moved in and impact leaders. Because that's what happened with Daniel. Daniel impacted Nebuchadnezzar, and to the point where even his friends in the burning furnace, they were so impacted, he repented. He nearly went mad out in the wilderness, but Nebuchadnezzar came back and he repented, and he actually declared there's no God like the God of Daniel. And this is what's going to happen in this era. It's not just about the gift, but it's operating through the lens of wisdom from above. Now, whew, I felt that then. If I pull faces and shake and just excuse me, it's just, you know, God doing something. All right. Now let me share about this, just to qualify some things. As you see me operating in a gift, and Adrian operating in a gift, right? You'll see more. It'll get stronger. And there's some stuff I reveal. I see. I speak it out. I'm not afraid anymore. I don't care what really people think. I only care what God thinks. And I'll pray and I'll break stuff off to bring correction, but it's like walking the plank. The prophetic is like walking the plank. When you move in with signs and wonders and you move in words of knowledge, it's like you're walking the plank and you're stepping out and you're thinking, oh Lord, what am I doing? And you're getting closer to the end of the plank and Jesus goes, hello. And he reveals himself because it's called faith. And there's some people, and there's nothing worse when you get prophetic people always go, I release a word and they go, yes, that witnesses to me. And I'll release another word. Yes, that witnesses to me as well. I got that too. And release another word. Yes, I got that. Well, why didn't you step out before me? You know what I mean? You need to walk the plank and step out. And I moved in this realm, and I've been moving in this realm for years. And we do prophesy in part, and there's times where you can miss it. And if you don't miss it, then I would question it, because we all miss it. If you say you don't miss it, then I don't agree with you. Am I making sense? Because someone said that William Branham never missed it, but that's like saying I don't ever make mistakes. And there's room for mistakes. There is, because in 1 Corinthians 14, it says that the word of God needs to be judged. The prophetic word from the tongue interpretation needs to be judged, doesn't it? So they say, if you miss it, they go, okay, take him out, stone him. No, it needs to be judged because there's room for correction. Anyway, what happened was I was moving in this realm. And let me just rewind back for another few years. I was hungry to move in the realms of the words of knowledge and the prophetic. I was so hungry. But I heard about this man who lived in Adelaide, Australia, and he was prophetic. He moved throughout the world, and he moved in signs and wonders. He was calling out words of knowledge. People were getting healed, delivered, but he would pack stadiums in Asia. They called him the Benny Hinn of Asia. And he was an Australian guy. And he was moved in such signs and wonders with the prophetic, and even his shadow would heal people. This guy was pretty amazing. And he'd come back to Adelaide, and no one will ever invite him, no one will know who he is. But then he'd go out and move in power. So what happened was, I heard about this guy. I'm thinking, who is this fella? I want to know who he is. And I set up an appointment to meet him. Because I really wanted to, because I was so hungry for God. And I really wanted to actually meet him and wanted to pick his brains, if you know what I mean. So I rock up at this restaurant, all excited, and I'm thinking, okay. And there's this little bald guy sitting there, very overweight, sitting there. Now, I did receive an impartation, but some people thought I physically got the impartation. This bald guy sitting there, overweight, and I sit down at the table and I'm talking to him. And he was sort of like, as he's talking to me, really eccentric guy, you know. You know, the Lord says, you know, that you need to be faithful, you know. And he's speaking, and he's spitting rice at me while he's talking. I'm serious, he's talking to me and like I'm sort of going. And he's spitting rice while he's talking, you know. And like I had to literally sort of have to go like that sometimes. And he's sort of, and the way he talked, you know, it's almost like that Yoda from Star Wars, you know. Ooh. The way he's talking, you know. And then he's talking and on his tie he spilt rice. It looked like maggot larva, you know what I mean? Just sitting on his tie. And I'm talking to him and here's me going. Just looking at him like, and I'm thinking in my head, and this is very judgmental and I was wrong. I thought, how could God use this guy? I'm thinking, how could God choose this guy? And I said, okay, I won't say his name. I said, let's cut to the chase. You know, because he's, you know, mucking around, talking and spitting rice. And I said to him, let's cut to the chase. How did all this happen? You hear the miracles and the stadiums. You've got 6,000 people packed in the church. And I mean, how does this? And he looked at me like, or seriously. And he said, the anointing makes the way for a man and puts him before rulers. In fact, the gift makes a way for a man. You know? And that just hit me. And I went, wow. And I thought, I'm going to take that and run with it. He said, the gift makes a way for a man and puts you before rulers. And what happened was I started moving in that realm. But let me tell you this. The gift will put you before rulers. I mean, I had some amazing opportunities where I was put before some businessmen in Hong Kong in the Bank of China in the boardroom, the board meeting. Someone saw me demonstrate some stuff and said, look, you need to, there's an Asian woman. She said, she was a businesswoman. She said, I want you to meet some friends. She said, the gift you got, you need to go see the, I want to take you somewhere. I didn't have no idea where I was going. So here's like me, like something the cat dragged in. I go into this board meeting. I said to her, why didn't you tell me what it dressed up? All these guys in suits in this board meeting, the Bank of China on the 75th floor, overlooking Hong Kong on twilight, you know, nearly the end of the day. And I'm like walking in here and then all these guys in these expensive suits looking at me. And then I started moving in the anointing and started talking to them. And this woman said, he interprets dreams. So I interpret this dream for the heavy set man at the end of the table who was probably the chairman. And I was interpreting his dream, tears started welling up, running down his face. And he went to speak and his lips going. He said, all my life, in China, they told me there was no God. And he was tearing up, and then I actually led him to Christ. And the rest was like dominoes, you know what I mean? It was like bang, 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 bang. I started leading him to Christ, and there was like the glory invaded the place. And it's like, you know, and the favor and the doors opened up. I just want to encourage you. So the gift can put you in the arena, but if you don't have the wisdom that comes from above, the gift will put you in the arena, but without the wisdom, the door will shut straight away and you get taken straight out. You know what I'm saying? So this weekend, we will impart, and I really believe it's going to be wisdom and revelatory knowledge as well as the gift. Because it says in James 3 that wisdom comes from above. It's mercy, goodwill, love. And it's also not only wisdom, but it's also love. And you actually operate in love when it comes to wisdom. And I want to encourage you that Daniel had a relationship with the official in the palace in Daniel chapter 1. It says he had wisdom that came upon him to understand dreams, but he had the wisdom is to understand the language of heaven, but the wisdom to bring the solution to the problem. You see, so Daniel and his friends had so much favor. And when Nebuchadnezzar interviewed him after 3 years when they were getting trained up, Nebuchadnezzar interviewed Daniel, and he, as you read it, he said, haven't found anyone in the land, Daniel and his friends, the most wisest amongst all the magicians and the soothsayers. The most wisest in the land. And the favor came upon Daniel and the doors opened up for Daniel. He became prime minister. And let me tell you this before I finish up. Joseph. I love Joseph's life, and this is what the body of Christ is going to look like. His life is the blueprint not only of Jesus' life, because he was betrayed by his brother. You look at the pattern of Joseph's life. It really happened in his life, but the narrative of his life is an outline of Christ. His brothers betrayed him. He went into a pit. Long story short, he was raised up and sat on the right hand of a throne. And he had the grain. And this is what I love about Joseph's life, because Joseph's life is a sign of what the body of Christ is going to look like in the future. Leaders are going to come to the body of Christ, right? And they have the grain, the word of God. And everybody came to Joseph. Everyone all over the earth had to come to Joseph because he had the grain. And he had the ability to have a platform. And the body of Christ is going to look like Joseph. And the whole world is going to depend on the body of Christ. That's what the spotless bride is going to look like. And that we're going to have the seed, the revelation, the truth, the revelation of Yeshua, the Messiah. And there's going to be a big end time harvest, as Bob Jones prophesied, a billion soul harvest. Amen. Now I'm going to close with this. We might do another dream interpretation. I mean, who knows? But listen to me carefully. When Joseph stood before Pharaoh, Pharaoh arrogantly claimed to be God on earth. He was possessed by a principality. And what happened was, this is a big call for Pharaoh to look at Joseph and say, I don't know a man so endowed with the Spirit of God as this man. It's a big call for an arrogant king who claims to be God, looks at a man and says, I don't know a man so endowed with the Spirit of God as this man. So he was moved by Joseph. The Spirit of God was on Joseph. But listen to me carefully. It wasn't the gift, wasn't the deal breaker. The gift got him his freedom. The gift gave Joseph his freedom. So he could have said, this is what the dream means, Pharaoh. Destruction's coming to Egypt. Wow. That's true. That makes sense. Wow, he nailed it. Okay, Joseph, because of that, you have your freedom. And Joseph could have gone. Had his freedom. But that wasn't the deal breaker. The deal breaker was he released the gift, but on top of that, he had wisdom. As you read in Acts 7, verse 10, Stephen talks about Joseph. He said, Joseph stood before Pharaoh with great wisdom. Not only governed the palace, he governed the whole nation. But he said that Joseph had great wisdom. Now listen to this. The gift set him free, but the wisdom gave Egypt the solution to the problem. So the wisdom gave the solution to the problem and blew Pharaoh away because he had answers to save the nation. He had the wisdom, the understanding to bring this airy-fairy dream that we can have sometimes, to bring it into the natural, to bring wisdom, to have a solution, to bring fruit, and to bring salvation. Am I making sense? So it's the wisdom that was the deal breaker with Joseph. It gave Joseph the whole nation. Amen? And I really believe that he's a prototype, he's a sign for what the body of Christ is going to look like corporately. God is raising up Josephs. God's raising up Daniels. God's raising up the body of Christ and moving a realm where you might not necessarily have a platform as a preacher, but you might be a businessman, you might be an entertainer, you might be a sports legend, but you have the wisdom to stand before rulers and leaders and influential people where a lot of normal people can't get to. They have the ability to release the wisdom, interpret dreams, and bring revelation of the King of Glory. Am I making sense? Who's feeling the anointing right now? Whew, I'm just sensing an invasion of God's presence here right now. Now, I want to encourage you. Tomorrow we're going to do some teaching. We're going to have a good long session of dream interpretations. We're going to actually move. We're going to see. We don't know what God's going to do tomorrow. It's going to be amazing. But we're going to anoint everybody with oil tomorrow night. Tomorrow afternoon, excuse me. Tomorrow afternoon, we're going to anoint you with oil and impart. Now, I don't know if we've done this before, but sometimes the angel turns up and there's words, detailed information. There's deliverance. There's healings. And I really believe this woman of God, God is sealing your healing. Amen. It's already happened 2,000 years ago. I'm only agreeing with God, that's all. Amen? And the enemy can try to mess with our mind to come under it where we've got to be above it. Amen? So what I want to do tonight, before I finish up, Pastor Trish has asked me to take up an offering. Now listen to me carefully. We don't charge for dream seminars or conferences. We don't really believe in that, in charging, all right, because some people charge online for dream interpretation. We don't agree with that. We don't believe in drive-through dream interpretations. But also we don't charge for a word. Someone in the Melbourne airport hijacked me and had a checkbook. So whatever you want, I need a word. I said, it doesn't work that way. Put it back in your pocket. It's not going to work that way. Besides that, I probably won't wake up tomorrow if I took it. You know what I mean? But I want to give you the opportunity to freely give, freely invest, all right, as you have freely received, freely give. And if you have a problem with giving, that's fine. It's not about us. It's about you and God. It's about you being blessed, all right? Now, I'm not going to ramble on and blab it and grab it. That's not what I'm about. But I'm here to give you the opportunity to invest in what we do. We have a full-time ministry. We live by faith, all right? But what we're releasing, and I want to pray over the seeds tonight. I want to pray over your seeds. And I really believe that a spirit of poverty is going to be broken as well off some people. Let me share this quickly, this testimony. Who's heard of Field of Dreams Church in South Australia? Field of Dreams Church is called Field of Dreams because obviously started off moving in the prophetic, dreams and visions. It's still like that, but it's a good church of about 200 or 300 now. I was one of the founders, but if my friend Todd Weatherly had the vision to plant it and he's going forward now, I couldn't do it all the time because I'm now in full-time ministry. But what happened was we needed a building. We needed the church building. We're not going to do the offering yet. Just hold the offering for a minute just before we continue on. You can get ready with it. We're not going to... No, that's right. We're not going to hand it out yet. I just want you to listen to this beforehand. Todd Weatherly went to write a check for $5,000. Excuse me. He, by faith, believed that God was going to give him a building. So he wrote a check for $5,000. And he sowed it to the church building fund down the road of another church. I mean, who does that? God spoke to him. God's told me to give $5,000 of the church money to the church building fund. Can you imagine when you go in and give it to the pastor, the look on his face is kind of like Sylvester in the Bugs Bunny cartoon. He's like, eh. Who does that? Who gives you $5,000? Another church gives it to the building fund. So he was like, wow, he was blessed. But we said, can you pray for 100-fold of this seed? Because we need a building. Absolutely. So we prayed. And Todd and I constantly prayed for other things. We got together and we prayed for this seed 100-fold. We really believe it because we needed provision. We don't want to be under the system. We want to be above the system. And many of us here need to walk above the system so you're free to go wherever the Lord sends you. Amen? Long story short, we sowed it. We prayed. I had another angel encounter where the Lord confirmed that something's activated with the prayer. Anyway, 4 or 5 months later, Todd said to his wife, can you check the bank account? So she gets a laptop out. She's looking at it and she goes, and he goes, what's wrong? And he goes, is it that bad? She said, somebody's deposited $500,000 in the bank account. And now we have a church building. Amen? Amen? That's called living in the kingdom currency. Let me tell you one more thing. I was at a service station 2 weeks ago, and a guy looked like a businessman, Asian guy. His card wouldn't work. And he said, this is a new card. And they said, well, you're not leaving. They treated him a bit like dirt. And I was in a hurry. So I just he got out of the way. So I went. As I was driving off, the Lord said, you missed it. You missed it. Well, you got to understand kingdom currency. He said, you should have paid for that. It's better than paying for a lottery ticket. You pay for that because you're activating something in the spirit. Am I making sense? The Lord said, you missed it. I went, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I love being disciplined by the Lord because it means I'm a legitimate child of God. Amen? So that's what the Lord has shown me. You sow in the spirit when God speaks to you to sow. Some of you God might not say sow tonight. Don't do it. God wants you to sow in faith, and he wants you to sow when you see something in the spirit, you sow it. Now I want to give you the opportunity to also by faith, listen to me carefully. We have a credit card slips here. Now, don't give the banks money without having the means to pay it back. That's stupidity. We're not here for that. We're not about this, all right? We want to come with integrity. We're not here to take your money. But God probably has put a figure on your heart and you don't have the cash, but you've got the money, but you want to do it out of convenience. You can put your hands up if you want to do that. We'll hand out these cards. Can I give these to you to hand out these? If you want to just give conveniently with a credit card, just hold your hand up. And if you can. Just hold your hand up and the ushers will hand out, or the pastor. Just keep your hand high. And if you want to give out of convenience, just keep your hand up and the ushers will just hand out the credit card slips. If the God is putting a figure on your heart, you have the money and you want to sow it, just you can do it that way. Amen? Anyone else? We're going to close it because I want to have the opportunity to pray over the seeds. I want to pray 100-fold. Okay. If you've got some currency, that's good. I want you to hold, actually, before you actually, because people are filling out their form, I want you to hold the seeds up in a moment. But we do have, this is another book we have online, which is called God's Prophetic Symbolism. This recently we went on Sid Roth, and this is actually different to dream interpretations. This is about prophetic signs, and we might talk a little bit about this tomorrow, where you might have something unusual come to you, to your eye gate, in the natural that you've never seen before. Like, for example, let's say a white dove might land on the bonnet of your car at the lights, and you go, wow, I don't see that every day. And something happens in the natural. What would the Lord be saying to you about that? Now, this is not about looking for omens, not about looking for signs, like getting all obsessed with it. It's about the signs looking for you. And you see something's unusual, and the Lord will say, what do you see? It's like Jeremiah in chapter 1. He saw a boiling pot, and the Lord said to Jeremiah, what do you see, Jeremiah? And there was a word that came out of that. Now, that doesn't actually say it was a vision. It might have been, but he could have been in the marketplace walking around. He saw a boiling pot. Am I making sense? And the Lord spoke to him. And this is how God can speak to us with signs that are unusual that you've never seen before, or something that never happens out of season, God can speak to you about it. This has a dictionary, but it's different to the Divinity Code. Similar, but different. But the teaching is very important for you to read to learn how to discern what the God is saying around you. There's some stuff happening in the unseen world, but it can bend the natural laws, if you know what I'm saying. And you can actually see things, and it tells you what's going on in the spirit. Am I making sense? So this is very important. Now, guys, hold your seeds up. And I want you to start praying in tongues because we're going to prophesy. Jesus. Shakarababa roko sike. Narabo suka. Holy Spirit, we thank you, Lord. Just keep praying in the Spirit. We thank you that there's debt cancellation. Lord, these seeds are not for necessarily Adam or Adrian. These seeds are for the believers here tonight that are sowing. And we thank you, Lord, they're sowing into the kingdom. And I thank you for a tsunami of blessings right now. I thank you, Lord, not 30, not 60, but I decree 100-fold is released over these seeds tonight. I decree 100-fold is activated tonight. And I prophesy, Lord, the curse of debt is broken off, and you've exchanged it with blessings. You've exchanged it with blessings that brings these believers above the system. They're above and not below. Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus, we are all come from above as we're born again in Christ. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, they're above the system. And when they walk, they're walking in a realm where they're led by the Spirit, because the sons of God are led by the Spirit. We release this in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, water these seeds right now. Lord, your river is flowing through this place. Water the seeds tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Do you want to do one more dream interpretation? You want to do one more, or? Okay. If you need to go, but we'll just do one more.
Okay. I had a dream where I saw a elderly gentleman appeared to be dead. A faceless person came into the picture. I looked at this elderly man. He had an incision right here. And this person came in, reached out, pulled out his heart, and in his chest cavity is liquid, but the heart appeared to be healthy, vibrant, and bright red.
So, first of all, when did you have this dream?
A couple of months ago.
So a couple of months ago, you had a dream where a gentleman wasn't looking so well. Is that what you're saying?
He was dead.
He was dead. That's not well at all.
This is a bizarre thing.
All right. So, and he was laying down. He was laying down.
Laying down. He didn't have a shirt on.
What was the surrounding? So, anything around him?
He was just on the ground.
On the dirt. Ground.
Yes.
On dirt. Yep. All right. And so, his shirt was open or not open?
He had no shirt. All right. But I knew he was old because he had wrinkles on his face. He had his eyes closed. Appeared to be dead.
All right. And so, a nun named or a man without a face, no face. Mr. No Face came along. And what he did was he reached into the man's chest and pulled out his heart, and you said that the heart was healthy, right? But then there was like liquid or something in there.
Glistening liquid in the substance in his chest cavity where the heart came out.
And so is the dream finished there?
There's one last detail. Off to the side, there was a elderly woman also dead, and an impression in the dream was cancer.
Hey, you didn't say that the first time, did he? He's keeping it to 15 seconds.
Yeah, but right? You can't
it's
do
important
that
you do. You tell us all everything, all right? And so you, it was a bit of grace, all right? But so the, next to him was an elderly woman, and she was dead, and she died of cancer. Okay. And so, all right, so this unnamed guy, or this unknown person, as it were, comes along and takes the heart out. Okay. And he didn't have a shirt on? Did he have any bottoms on or at all?
That wasn't in focus.
Okay.
Wasn't in focus. Right.
I mean, because you could be naked and unashamed and all those sort of things. You could be clothed in the glory. You might actually be being revealed or something like that. So there's lots of different things you could interpret and understand there. So what you want to do as you're listening to the dreams like that is try to relate anything that you see in Scripture, that because you're looking at the dream through the lens of Scripture. So where you see Scripture and where it goes off inside of you, does a verse go off inside of you? You're trying to link that and you're searching for that. At the same time, you're waiting for the Spirit of God to give you a witness of what's going on. Okay. So the woman's alongside of him. Is she to the right or to the left?
Off
to the right.
To the side. She wasn't laying beside him.
Do you think they were together before?
The only thing they have in common is they're old. No idea whether there's a connection.
Okay. So can I ask you some questions about your background, all right? When a dreamer's dream, obviously it's when Jesus spoke, he spoke parables, correct? And a dream is a personal parable. Whenever Jesus spoke about the kingdom, he used parables. Without the kingdom, without the parable, he didn't speak about the kingdom. So a personal parable relates to the kingdom around you, the dreamer, primarily. All right. So you're going, so 80% of the chances are it's relating to our brother. So I want to ask him some questions to localize that and so, see whether I'm correct. Are you good?
Getting whacked. Sorry. Presence of God is strong here for some reason. His legs are shaking. So am I.
Have you been involved with a church that has died? Did it consume itself? Did something start? See, what I'm thinking is this: could that woman be a dead church, and a cancer destroyed it? Not literal cancer, but something that consumed it from within. All right, so that's why I'm asking those questions. So,
I've been a pastor.
Ah.
In a church.
Ah.
Associate pastor. I felt called to the nation of New Zealand. However, there's been two churches that I've been a part of that has just created a sense of death, I suppose, in my soul.
I was gonna just follow on from Adrian. Come over here for a minute. Now, your mother well?
Mother's well, yep.
Good. Because it can be layers, and I don't get anything prophetically, but I just want to ask that question because it could relate to your experience. But I wanted to follow on from what Adrian was saying, that I see that man is you, right? And you do have a wealth of knowledge, and you do have an ability. You actually are a spiritual father. You can have the ability to come into a place of being a spiritual father, but bring such a whole new realm. Not like every other spiritual father, not like the old the old Pentecostal way. God's bringing you into a whole new era of teaching and being like a spiritual father. But what happened was it's because you've been through so much and there's been some resistance, you probably think there's a death in your ministry or death in your calling, but it's actually not. And the woman represents the church, right, as Adrian was saying. But it can represent, the old church can represent the old wineskin as well, right? And so there's two here, the two age, because the fact that she's away from, if you were together, I would have thought there's a similarity with the aging. But the fact that she was away, separate, means that she's from the, it's kind of like it was away from you, behind you, was it? Or wasn't it?
Just away, yeah.
Because behind, away can represent the old wineskin of the past.
The past, that's it, the past.
The move of God of the past. Or the old church doing the old way, having the old mindset. But you've tried to bring some change and you've been a spiritual father and you actually been, the age represents a spiritual maturity. That's what you have. But it's nearly caused you to go flatline because you've had resistance. But God's actually, that the hand was actually Jesus' hand pulling out the heart and showing you that your heart's in the right place and you belong to me. Right? You're his. And this is a whole new era God's showing you. How long ago you had the dream?
Oh, a couple of months ago.
Okay. God's showing you
awesome.
That you're actually really, in a way, we see this death as being death to self. You come to a place of being completely deaf to self. Even though men try to, you feel like you've actually died and you've had the life sucked out of you, but it's actually deaf to self. And I see there's a resurrection happening even today in the spirit where you're going to move in such power. And I really feel to impart now, even though we're going to do impart, you jumped the line a bit. You got an early start because we're going to impart into tonight. How do you feel about that?
Please.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Perfect sense. Yeah.
And the fact that it's fluid beneath the surface means that God can mold that and change that. It can bring something new out of that. So it's not fixed. It wasn't solid. It was like something that can mold it to this new heart, because God's got your heart. Mm. Putting, you're going to put it back in there.
Yeah.
Resurrect you differently.
That's good. I'm just seeing a vision of angels around your family. You have a wife? You're married? Okay, because there's an angel with her right now. I want to prophesy there's an angel who's actually going to bring peace to her, right? Because there's some decisions that you made that's actually caused some grief, right? And God wants to bring peace because what you've done it in God. You've actually believed you heard from God. It's like when Abraham in Genesis heard from the Lord to leave his parents and then he went straight into a famine, right? But there's the blessings of Egypt coming. And I really see that you're going to come into a place where God's actually leading your wife and you and your wife into a place of the destiny where God's called you. And I see there's anointing of her for the prophetic as well. She's extremely prophetic. And that angel is going to give her peace, but also the angel is going to give her the ability, as you've seen demonstrated tonight, it's going to be words of knowledge to a greater level and give her such discernment. And I see her as being like a watchman of the wall, on the wall, and she actually has the ability to intercede and release. But also the peace is coming upon her mind. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. And so we're going to pray for that. And I'm going to pray for her. I just pray for the stomach area. I decree divine order right through her body. Release the fire of God right now. We thank you for equipping her body right now. And we thank you the digestive system is coming in the divine order.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for giving her strength.
Yes.
And we decree, Lord Jesus, that you've given her hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11 has been released to me, and I prophesy it over her right now. And I thank you for giving her strength where she can, Lord, she's an armor bearer for you. And I release that, Lord. There's a reverse happening here. Whew. Just come over here a little bit more. Just get your hands up because there's an angelic realm here right now. Whew. Adrian, do you want to start first? Adrian?
Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for available vessels. Thank you for our heart after God. Thank you, Father. We just thank you for resurrection power right now in our brother. And we thank you for a release of what we carry, what Adam carries and what I carry to our brother. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Let the spirit of understanding, let him receive a spirit of understanding, Lord, tonight. New understanding. New understanding.
Mm.
Let revelation flow. Let the spirit of life and the tongue of life come from our brother, I pray. Ooh.
I'm seeing a teaching mantle, Adrian, your relation to him. And I see books written.
Father, thank you.
God's actually showing me a vision.
Thank you. Thank you. Lord, thank you for the gift that you've laid upon my life. I pray, Lord, that you would impart what you've given me to my brother. Lord, and that he would peel away that which is unseen to the natural eye, but you'd reveal it to the spiritual eye within our brother. Lord, that he would speak words of life that don't fall to the ground, like Samuel. Lord, I pray that he would speak revelatory words, words of life, foundational words of life in Jesus' mighty name.
Yeah. I'm seeing there's some stuff that's been journaled right now. I'm seeing in the spirit you're journaling. God's actually giving you teaching out of revelation. But also, I'm going to release tonight, there's going to be these revelations that you're journaling. I'm seeing in the spirit. And I'm seeing even books, about four books lined up, right? I'm seeing that in the spirit. And I'm seeing a vision. But when you're actually writing, you're typing and also writing with your hand. Somehow you're writing stuff with your hand. It's like a... But also I'm seeing you typing, both writing. I'm not sure if it's actually drawing or... But I'm seeing that actually you're actually typing what you're actually getting from God. But I'm seeing an angel behind you touching your shoulder. I'm seeing this in the spirit. It's different to the one with your wife that has. But this is what we're going to release tonight, that you're going to have encounters of heaven that's actually going to tie these whole journal. What you're journaling right now is actually going to confirm and tie these revelations you're getting. You've got like multiple revelations are going to come together seamless through these encounters you're going to add in between right now. We thank you, Lord. It's like John the Apostle. It's a revelatory angel gone. Gave John the Apostle in the book of Revelation. And we release this impartation tonight that when he's journaling, when he's getting revelation, it's becoming so powerful, but it's actually going to equip the church. It's going to equip the body. And I see this old woman with cancer lifting off. The cancer is lifting off the bride right now. And we prophesy this bride is becoming beautiful. Whew. Right now, we release it right now. Through the revelation this man's getting right now, the bride is becoming beautiful. And Lord, as this man is releasing the revelation, people being transformed, coming into a realm of such revelation, what it is to be citizens of heaven, release the mantle, the seer realm, the angelic realm is opening up right now. Oh, there you go. In Jesus' name. I see your wife has ability to teach. She's teaching. She's a teacher. I'm seeing that. Release that right now as well. There's a prophetic anointing for her to be intercession, but also she teaches. And I'm seeing children. Lord, I thank you. She's equipping the young into the things of the Spirit right now. Whew. Just got to put some oil on your head if that's all right. Father, we just anoint this man, and we just thank you for the mantle of a prophet right now. Lord, it's a prophetic pastor. We release that anointing right now. Dreams, visions, and revelatory gifts. And we release it right now. Everything that I have, I release double portion. Oh, there you go. Take it, take it, take it, take it, take it, take it. The fire of God's coming upon you right now. It's the fire of God. It's released right now in Jesus' name. Take it, take it, take it. Whew. Hallelujah. Whew. Whew. Now, just because this is not hype, okay? We don't want to hype anything up, right? We want to be down-to-earth Aussies and New Zealanders. I'm a bit drunk.
Anzacs, maybe. Anzacs.
Anzacs. But you're an Aussie?
I am.
All right, so did that a lot of that make sense?
Yeah, a lot of it made sense, yeah. Yeah, just feel light, feel encouraged. Feel
And I really believe that there's something about you journaling. God's activating downloads for you, and I just see there's books coming.
But, yeah,
God told me to write a book. And silly old me, sometimes you think in your head it's just you. But and then my wife's been on my back about writing a book. And I've actually sat down and typed out chapter one. I need some inspiration.
So God did a number on you tonight, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
Bless you. All right, well, let's call it a night, and we'll... Oh, just for the record, too, we don't do dream interpretations afterwards. There's a reason for it, not that we're being snobs or anything like that. We wind down mentally. There's the anointing does lift off us, and we don't want to just give you the wrong interpretation. We need to be in the spirit. We need to be... We do it. There's a method to our madness, so please understand we don't do any dream interpretations afterwards. But come tomorrow, and I'm sure we're going to do as many as we can tomorrow.